days. We gon' walk it out and woo.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to WOLB 1010 AM Talk Radio. You're listening to Carol Mileta of Team Radio Baltimore, bringing you another edition of Parenting 411, where we share information parents need from sources they can trust. I'm so happy that you're going to spend a little time with me today. We have a great show. We're going to be talking about blended families, and I have two guests on that are going to share all of their wealth of knowledge that they've acquired having been in a blended family and building that family. But before we get there, I want to share some upcoming events with you that might be very interesting for you. First up, we have Sean Yancey's Girls Night Out on Saturday, June 23rd. You probably know Sean Yancey from Fox 5 News. It's the 10th anniversary of a fundraising event that she holds, and it was created to support women and families and enrich the lives of children. I have enjoyed the event a great deal, and I'm happy to be a donor this year. It's going to be held at the Katzen Center at American University, and it truly is a party with a purpose, as this year's proceeds go to the Southeast Tennis and Learning Center. So check it out at www.gnobyseanyancey.com. It's basically G-N-O, Sean Yancey, G-N-O by Sean Yancey.com. Next, I want to remind you about Camp Pursuit. That's the academic enrichment camp that I'm helping to bring here. It focuses on science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics for grades 1 through 8. Our launch team is hosting the camps at two locations in Washington, D.C., and one in Arlington, Virginia. So I encourage you to visit camppursuit.com. That's CAMPPURSUIT.com for more information. Now, I want to turn your attention to today's topic, and that is when 1 + 1 is greater than 2, building blended families that work. So here to talk with me today is Dr. Dwayne Mangum. He brings a diverse set of experiences that equip him to do this work. He's a 25-year Air Force veteran. Thank you for your service.
Welcome.
He is a Christian counselor, seminar facilitator, speaker, lifestyle coach, and pastor. He even holds a PhD in Christian counseling. Perhaps his most cherished qualification in his life as a devoted husband and father, who not only experienced a blended family as a child, but who has done the work as an adult building a blended family that works. Welcome, yes. Dr. D.
Thank you so much, Carol. I am truly excited to be a part of this amazing show today. I love the blended families because I started out early in my birth, really. At 9 years old, I was introduced to a blended family. My mom got remarried and we inherited a stepdad. Mm-hmm. And so that situation created an environment for me, even though I didn't know what a blended family or a stepland family was. Mm-hmm. I kind of ran into it. And unfortunately, my relationship with my stepdad, who's no longer living, wasn't real good in the output.
Okay.
We had a situation where I got disciplined by him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought his discipline was a little bit over the edge.
Okay.
And so, I shared it with my mom, and my mom had a conversation with him regarding that. And it kind of changed a little bit. And so that was my introduction to the blended family. Mm-hmm. After that, being a young guy, graduating from high school and moving into a place of young adulthood, I met this young lady, and she had two children. One was 8 and one was 6 years old.
Okay.
And we began to date, and I understood that she was a single parent, and I had this caretaker mentality that I wanted to come in and be a positive role model, and we end up getting married, and that was my first introduction to the blended family. I didn't have any children at that time. Mm-hmm. I was a single guy hanging out, and we end up trying to cultivate the relationship and build so where they can be something really important, something encouraging. Unfortunately, with the nuances of me not knowing a lot about a blended family, mm-hmm. we end up separating and end up, unfortunately, divorcing. Mm-hmm. And so what happened, I gained a lot of experience through that process, mm-hmm. that if I was ever getting married again, I'm going to be honest, Carol, I did not want to marry someone
With children. Okay.
Because I guess it was very heavy, not so much as the relationship didn't have positive points.
Right.
But it was a lot of responsibilities, a lot of emotionals, a lot of dynamics that as a young person, for me, I knew I wasn't ready. So I wanted to take the road. So I took some time off from dating and relationship. And then after praying, because I am a born again believer in Christ, after praying, I said, God, if you decide to send me an Esther, you fix it up the way you want to. And so 4 or 5 years later, I met my present wonderful wife, Michelle, and she had a son from a previous marriage. So here I go again, Carol, right back in to the blended family.
Right.
But this time it was a little different. I count that too because I was a little more experienced. I was aware of some of the nuances that could take place during the blended family journey. And so one of the things that really took place was I met her son, Michael. Well, at that time, I think he was 17 or 18. And we had a great conversation because being younger, you can kind of deal with being in a blended family or having the prospects of having a new stepdad. But as you get older and the children or teenagers get older, they have a different mindset about someone coming into the home or coming into dealing with their mom. But we had a great conversation. And he asked me a question that I still remember to this day, 15 years ago. He said, why do you want to marry my mom? And what place are you going to have in my life?
Wow.
And that was a very astute question for an 18-year-old. He's a brilliant young man. But what happened was we began to dialogue. And I told him, I said, my goal here is not to replace your dad. My goal here is to be a mentor, to be an example to where you can see me as a person striving to make sure that your mom is happy and that you get some tools to be a productive citizen within the community as a young Afro-American man. And so from that point on, our relationship just blossomed and is still blossoming today.
Good, good. And I want to take a moment to remind our listeners that you're tuned into Parenting 411 on WOLB 1010 AM. We are talking about blended families. And if you would like to call in to join the conversation, you can call 410-481-1010. That's 410-481-1010. And right now you're listening to Dr. Duane Mangum, also known as Dr. D. And among all of his many titles of pastor, lifestyle coach, and others, he is the author of Blending to Make It, Ingredients for a Successful Blended Family. And he was sharing with us his background of having grown up in a blended family and grown up to form blended families. So tell us how you decided to write a book about blended families.
Well, that's a great question, Carol. I think because of all the things that I encountered and talking to other people that was in the step family and dealing with some of the challenges and changes, I was working. I think I was in my last year preparing to do my dissertation. And that entitled the Blended Family Influences, the Phenomenon in the 21st Century. And so I began to think about what best I could do is to try to help families that's in the same family system is to write a book and give them some navigating tools and tips to kind of get through some of the integration process. Normally, psychologists say it takes anywhere from 3 to 6 years for a blended family to feel like they are really a normal family. And so I wanted to write my book from three perspectives. The first perspective was practical. The second was therapeutic, and the third was spiritual. And I wanted to write that because I knew that people needed to understand that you don't have to end up in divorce court. You don't have to end up to where the family is not striving or doing something exceptional. And so I wanted to write this. And after I began to write it and did my first draft and third draft, it became my passion to see blended families really succeed and to understand that if you take the approach with the proper perspective and the proper attitude and have the right people around you that can encourage you, that can empower you, and that can equip you with doing this thing the right way. And I think, Carol, when you understand how valuable you are as a blended family, because it's not really about blood.
Right.
We live in a world in the 21st century that I believe the new nuclear family is the blended family. And so that inspired me to write this book, because basically I wanted to see people get better. I wanted to see the blended family get
succeed
and get off of that tainted mindset that because you marry someone with children, or maybe you don't have children, or you marry a husband or a wife and they have children, that y'all automatically gonna fail. I wanted to really destroy that myth, because in reality, it's a myth.
Right. Well, I certainly appreciate your enthusiasm about it. And also, that's why I'm looking forward to talking with Courtney Williams. She's going to join us for the second half. And some of our listeners may have seen her and her family featured in Essence, on the Essence magazine website, as the Instagram couple of the week, I think it was.
Yes.
But and they share their story there. And so she will be joining us. She's also a blogger, and she has this passionate desire to spread the word that blended families can succeed. And she also comes from a place that's anchored in her Christian faith as well, as are you. So I'm looking forward to that. And you said something, and I do want to talk about that. I was going to talk about that later anyway, and that is sort of being surrounded by people that are supporting you being successful. So I guess it could be extended family or whoever you have in your village. Talk a bit about how important it is to have people around that are really pulling for you and you and your family, your blended family, to be successful.
Well, I think one of the key principles is that you have to have people in your corner that are not holding you hostage with a mistake of the divorce, or mistake of having a child out of wedlock. Mm. And they must understand that things happen, but because things happen, it doesn't make you a prisoner of what has happened. Mm-hmm. And I think the mindset, I think educating people on the blended family, understanding that if you're going to take a role in my family, then be a supportive role. Be a positive role. Be an uplifting role. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, my grandmother used to say, if you can't say anything nice, probably don't say anything else at all. And I think that your extended family, your village and the blended family, I think they must understand that the goal is to make you successful, be a part of you being successful. Because the real thing that happens is that the children become casualties if you have people around you that are negative, that are not supportive. Mm-hmm. And I always tell clients that I counsel with blended families that make sure that your circle is full of people that really want to have your best interests at heart, really want you to do something amazing and phenomenal. Instead of pulling away from you, instead of finding things to say, well, you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right, maybe the biological or the biological mom or dad could have did better. And so I think that you have to be very selective. And as a servant of God, I think you really have to pray about it.
Absolutely.
And I don't think you should just pull people in because they say, oh, you got a blended family. You know, I was in one. And one of the things that I think that helps your circle to be healthy is that they deal with their own situations. They deal with their own blended families and get positive feedback and get nurtured in a healthy and holistic way.
Right.
And I think that creates the environment that where you have people around you that really want to see you do something fantastic.
Good. Good. Now, I wonder, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about your work and how you spread this message to families. We've talked about your book, but what are other ways that you engage with families?
Counseling.
Okay.
I have clients that have been in blended families. When I do premarital counseling, I recently married someone that a couple years ago now, and they are a blended family.
Okay.
And one of the things I did in my first initial session with the adults of the family, I let them know I would like to talk to your children as well. Now, and if they're minors, I want the parents to be there. But if they're young adults, I want to have a session with them, because I truly believe that they need to understand that they're going into a new family system, and there's going to be some nuances that they need to be educated on and they need to be brought up to speed on, and to know that you can play a role in your new mom, a new dad, and your new family, your brother or sister being successful, and that you guys have a great life. And so I really offer this in my premarital counseling, that I need to counsel with the adults who are in love and Google eyes and everybody is happy. But I also need to counsel with the children that's going to be involved.
So what are some of the things you tell the children to expect then?
I tell the children that you have to be patient. With your new brothers and sister, expect that you're probably going to leave your home and your community. Sure. You're probably going to have to change schools. Mm-hmm. You know, you're probably going to have to develop the ability to say, you know what, you have to share rooms if you have a new sister or a new brother, if they're at the appropriate age. Right. And so I tell them to look for that. And I also, one of the things I press forward, Carol, in developing that blended family system within the new home is that I share with the parents that you need to develop a love shop. What a love shop is that once a week in this new blended family system, we need to sit around, we need to sit down and have a conversation about what's going on. Mm-hmm. I think you need to allow parents, adults, you need to allow your kids to express themselves appropriately and respectfully how they feel. Because when we say the kids should just be quiet and take this, they're being affected by this new system. Mm-hmm. And I think they have something to say. And I think when you allow them to express themselves and allow them to tell you how they really feel, sometimes they may, listen, I don't want to be in this relationship. I don't know why you married her. But see, a lot of time, instead of taking that negative, taking that they're expressing themselves about, well, we need to spend more time together. We need to spend time cultivating a relationship with the children and cultivate and allow them to cultivate the relationship with one another. And so I think having that love shop once a week, it creates an environment that where you're building a togetherness. You're building them an opportunity to have a positive voice and a respectful voice. And then they kind of get, say, you know what? My new mom and new dad really understand what we're going through now.
Right. And, you know, sometimes it makes a difference with children just being heard.
Yes.
It just... You know, because a lot of times they see life happening to them because the adults have all the responsibility, they have all the authority, and they just feel like they're just powerless. And so just being heard sometimes, even if you're even if the decisions that are going to be made aren't going to be in their, you know, not their preferred way to go, just being heard can make a world of difference.
And also, I think... if the parents are willing to show the new children or their biological children that we really care about how you feel. See, being heard lets me know that you're really concerned about how I feel.
Exactly.
And that elevates the relationship to become better between everyone involved in this family system.
Now, let's talk for a minute about how the former spouse or partner can figure into success for blended families, because I know a lot of people probably were tuned in to Red Table Talk this week. It's a new Facebook Live talk show that actress Jada Pinkett Smith has launched. And on a regular basis and on an ongoing basis, it will feature her daughter as well as her mother, sort of three generations. But the launch featured her husband, actor Will Smith's former wife, and they talked about the co-parenting and the whole blended family, and it really caught fire with a lot of people. So I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, in your experience with families, which how you guide them on that.
Well, I think it's important that when the decision has been made that the new blended family or the new parent or the new dad, rather mom or dad, are they going to get married or remarried?
Right.
When that decision has been made, then I offer them this recommendation that you need to come and have a conversation with the biological parent that's not going to be involved in the marriage and sit down and kind of lay out, here's my expectations. And what are your expectations as, for example, in the Jada Smith Facebook Live, having them have a conversation and allowing them to be open and kind of premises like this. We have to be appropriate and we have to be respectful.
Right.
Because here's the thing. The bottom line when kids are involved, the kids should be the gem. They should be really thought of. And so how I try to navigate couples or people that are involved in that is that kind of take yourself out of the role of being upset. Now, that's not always the case, because you must also understand that when there is a separation, whether it's the divorce or a breakup of a couple that have kids and they've been dealing with their kids together and one of the persons decide to remarry somebody else, there's hurt.
Sure.
There's pain, there's brokenness. And what I do offer is that they should get professional counseling. Preferably, if they are a believer or non-believer, get professional Christian counseling, because what that does is sets up opportunity to bring a bridge to that particular hurt or that pain and let them know that, okay, we're going into this new relationship. And so we must be really aware that you're coming in as well, but we want you to play a role. And if maybe you're not there to play a positive role right now, mm-hmm. then we maybe need to revisit it. But I think we should go in with about 5 expectations that we're not going to badmouth anybody.
Right.
We're not going to try to usurp your authority, or you don't love my children. You don't love my new husband or my new wife. We don't want to get into it where it becomes toxic or conflictatory. We mm-hmm. want to make sure as much as possible I share with them so that they can smoothly run through it. And that's why when we sit down and talk with parents, mm-hmm. or if I sit down and talk to my clients that are moving into that, I think it's really important that you are in a position that where I'm not against you. Mm-hmm. I'm not your enemy. Right. Matter of fact, I want to be your friend. I want to be your alliances. Now, what happened between you and that person mm-hmm. has nothing to do with me per se.
Right.
You know, and so we have to go and look at it from a beneficial perspective for mm-hmm. the children they are involved. And the reality, though, it really takes a lot of maturity.
Absolutely.
It really takes some people to say, you know what, let me look in the mirror at myself. What am I planning to gain mm-hmm. if I come in with a negative, conflictory, or blaming attitude?
Right.
Because the bottom line is that we can make it work if we all put our egos aside.
Right.
If we can get help to put away that pain and that hurt. And I always try to share with couples that mm-hmm. are not married, before you get into a new relationship, spend about 2 years outside of any relationships.
Right.
So you can get some of those unresolved issues handled appropriately. Because what happens, Carol, you bring them in.
Right. And I wanted you to talk a bit about what kind of work parents need to do, internal, personal work they need to do before they embark on.
Well, I think they need to understand that all blended families start from a loss.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They all start from
mm-hmm. that was a good
grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, in my book, I talk about, you know, death and divorce. Mm-hmm. Remarriage. Mm-hmm. But maybe you weren't married and you had a child by that person. That person that you were not married to decide to marry somebody else with
loss.
Another child. That's a loss, mm-hmm. you know? And so you must understand that, first of all, I tell them again, I stamp my feet about getting some counseling because you're grieving. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. If you lose somebody that you love, I'm not talking about the death,
right.
but through disconnection and separation and they're moving on with their lives, that's a loss. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to get with someone that has some experience and want to see you get better. Understand that you're grieving. Understand that, number one, you're angry.
Right.
You know, and you're mad. And so if those, you got to do that internal work. You got to mm-hmm. look at yourself because you want to make sure mm-hmm. that you are an asset and not a liability mm-hmm. in coming into this new family system as somebody that's not going to be the primary players.
Right.
And so it helps. And I tell them, you know, do the work, do the internal work, get the therapeutic help.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Get the spiritual help,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I didn't want to jump into this, but since we talked about this, I want to say one of the things I tell all couples mm-hmm. that's dealing with blended families that have loss, mm-hmm. that you allow forgiveness mm-hmm. to be one of the corners you turn, because forgiveness does not happen out overnight,
mm-hmm.
but forgiveness really gains strength, I believe, when you look at it from a practical perspective mm-hmm. and an application perspective.
Right.
Because when you take everything in and say, you know what, I really can't move on until I forgive my ex-husband,
mm-hmm.
a former husband, a former wife, a former boyfriend. I really can't move on. And what I do, I become a seed carrier, a toxicity of unforgiveness. Mm-hmm. And see, what I tell people all the time, if you have children,
mm-hmm.
you pass that down to your children,
yes.
unbeknowing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, I had a situation where all this particular person would do was badmouth the former husband or the former wife. I said, your children are seeing you or hearing you, or maybe they're seeing the body language when your dad calls you.
Oh, yeah.
They can see. Children are very intuitive.
Mm-hmm.
We don't give them a lot of credit sometimes, but they're very intuitive mm-hmm. of what's going on. And so you pass this down to them, and then you plant this seed in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
That their dad or mom really did something bad. And what you do, unfortunately, you allow these children to have this mindset that I'm going to start rejecting my dad because my mom rejected him. Even though I have a new mom, then mm-hmm. how could I trust her?
Well, yeah, and you know what? It's also, too, well, they feel this sense of loyalty
yes.
as well. So if I have a good relationship with my dad or mom, whoever's out of the house, that's going to make the other parent feel bad. Or if I accept the new parent,
yeah,
that's going to be somehow it's going to be disloyal to my biological mom or dad. And so the adults around need to let them know it's okay.
Yes.
To connect with them, because that was something also that came out of that talk with Jada Pinkett Smith
yes.
and Cherie Fletcher. And that was because, Cherie said what helped her was she had to remember, I am always going to be, in this case, they're talking about her son, their oldest son. I'm always going to be his mother, and nobody can take the place of that. And if it's so, and it's okay that he connects with his bonus mom. That's what they refer to that.
Yes, they did.
It's okay. It takes nothing away from me, and it's more love for him. And that's what you want in the end. So.
And I think that's a great point, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
And I really try to stress the issue of loving.
Mm-hmm.
And in my book, I talked about learning to love beyond the pain.
Right.
And I think the reality is that in a family situation, whether it's blended or nuclear, there's going to be painful situations.
Right.
And the parents hold, I believe, the biggest responsibility of learning to forgive and learning to love beyond the pain. Because what you do, you model that behavior
mm-hmm.
towards your children. And if they're very young children,
right.
they begin to model that behavior when they face their own adversarial situation, a conflictatory situation. And it really helps them. Because, see, when you start planting positive seeds
yes.
and seeds of love, it start blooming when your son or daughters or your kids grow up and they find themselves in a blended family.
Right.
Right. Say, well, this is what my mom and dad did, or this is what my stepdad or stepmom did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to react to that the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Because the end game is that we don't just survive in the blended family, but we thrive with great mm-hmm. happiness and great victory. And so
yes.
I think that I share with all my parents, I'm real passionate, because where I am today
mm-hmm.
is because I learned to forgive.
Right.
I learned to love beyond the pain, and I pass it down. I didn't say this earlier. My former wife and I, we did have two children together. We had a son and daughter together, so we end up having four kids together.
Sure.
And I try to stress that
mm-hmm.
Even now as our kids are young adults, is the regards of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
First seek God, but allow yourself to not get stuck
mm-hmm.
in unforgiveness, not to get stuck in the situation that's taking place. And a lot of time it's easier said than done. But if they see you modeling it
exactly.
consistently,
mm-hmm.
in spite of the flaws, in spite of the disruption,
right,
they catch it. Because I'm a firm believer, a lot of things are caught more than taught.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So let me see. It looks like Courtney may have, she may be holding on for us. So let
okay.
me bring her in.
Sure.
Hello, Courtney.
I'm here.
Oh, great, great. I don't know how much of our conversation you have already heard.
I was able to hear it.
Yes, oh, okay. Wonderful. And I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to Parenting 411 on WOLB 1010 AM Talk Radio. And our topic for today is when 1 + 1 is greater than 2, creating blended families that work. You were just listening to my conversation with Dr. Dwayne Mangum, also known as Dr. D, and he's author of Blending to Make It, Ingredients for a Successful Blended Family. And so now we're bringing in Courtney Williams. She is a blogger. She is a busy mom, and she is part of a blended family. She's a mother and a stepmother. Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you so much for having me. And I just have to say, that was amazing, you and Dr. Mangum's conversation. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to come in after that.
Oh.
So I feel like he covered everything, but it was so, so good. Such a blessing.
Well, yes. Well, thank you. And we're glad you're
here. Thank you, Courtney.
Yes. We're glad you're here, too. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your blended family, and how long you all have been together.
Well, like you mentioned, I'm newly married. We've been married for 2 years. I was a single mom of one to my daughter for about 2.5 years before meeting my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a father of one to his son. His son was 3 when we started dating. And then we got married. We've recently welcomed our newest addition. We have a 12-month-old baby, Channing. So we are a blended family of 5.
Mm-hmm.
I've recently launched my blog. I would share my story and my testimony of going from a single mom to a wife and blending a family with different women. And I just saw that there was such a need for people to have these conversations, to give these families tools to be successful. And so it led me to launch my blog. And so now I have a lifestyle blog where I talk about all these things, from single motherhood to dating as a single mom, to blending families and, you know, building relationships with your stepchildren. And so it's been great so far. I've been getting a lot of great feedback, and I've really been enjoying doing it.
Good, good. Now, I want to ask you, as you and your husband were preparing to get married, or just maybe even in the early stages thinking, like maybe you weren't necessarily engaged, but you were kind of talking about it, what were some things or conversation topics that you felt just really had to be addressed? Because you can't plan for everything, but what were some things that you or he felt you needed to be real clear on about bringing your families together?
I would say the biggest thing was, I don't know if we want to call it the hierarchy or the chain of command, but we were both very clear that once we got married, once we said I do, it was God, it was us, and then it was our children. And even with us having a blended family, we felt that that's the order that things should go in. And so sometimes that could be very hard to do and be very complicated when you have a blended family and you're bringing in children that you have before you got married, to keep that order into play. But that was something that we both felt very strong about, that it was God, it was us too, and then it was our children. So that way you don't run into maybe the kids or the former spouses being able to create a lot of confusion and dysfunction and things of that sort. So that's what we both came together and we were on the same page about.
Okay. Now, did you have any talk? Did you think at all about maybe discipline, how that might be handled or things like that?
We did, and I have to be honest, I felt like after we got married, I was like, whoa, like there's so many things that come up that you don't think about. And so that's what really led me to share, although we're newly blended, it's only been 2 years of marriage, 3 years of dating. There's just a lot that comes up in those first few years that a lot of people may not think about. So it's all almost like premarital counseling. You go to that for 6 weeks and they try and prep you for some things, you know, that may come up. And so that's what we've been trying to do with blended families. It's like, hey, these are some things that you may not think about that may come up. Like I said, I have to be honest, there's so much that came up and I'm just like, wow, you know, you don't consider this before you say I do. But we did talk about discipline. And since our kids were so young, my daughter was two, his son was three. That was something that really comes into play because they're still learning so much. You're still going through those early years. And so we both felt, you know, using our judgment, being led by God, that we would allow each other to take the appropriate action as far as discipline when it came to our children, with them being so young.
Yes. And, you know, and you brought up a good point. And actually, Dr. D was talking about that as well. He does premarital counseling, and it's kind of, it can kind of be nice if when you have that, if you have if you have someone that can talk about blended families. That's, you know, more and more today, that's probably going to be very important,
right?
I think. So,
right.
Yeah. Now, do you, we talked a little bit earlier, too, about having a village around you, rooting for you and your family. Do you feel that you all have assembled that, people that really care and want to see you successful and are often even willing to pitch in to help you all be successful?
Oh, yes. We have been so blessed by our village on both sides. My side of the family, my husband's side of the family, they have really just stepped in and helped us to genuinely blend with these kids. We have their support. They treat I don't like to use the word step, but for the sake of this conversation, I will. They treat our stepchildren as if they were their own. You know, last summer, our son comes to stay with us for the whole summer because we live in Houston. He lives in Louisiana with his mom. And so he comes to stay for the whole summer. And me and my husband had a trip planned. And my mom, you know, she watched both of my daughters and she watched my stepson for a whole week. And so things like that, they've just really been there to support us. Birthday parties, holidays. I mean, they're there for both of our kids. You know, that we brought into the marriage. You know, Christmas, my family's buying, my mom's side and my dad started buying my stepson all these gifts. They're there for all his birthday parties and same for my husband. So that's helped as well, just to have that support, because I feel like you have that pushback from your family. That just makes the situation even harder.
Now, I wonder, have you been following the Red Table Talk that Jada Pinkett Smith launched?
I did see that. It seems like the whole world has seen that, but I thought that was such an amazing conversation. But yes, I did see it.
Okay. Now, what opportunities have you had to share all that you've learned with other families that are experiencing blended family life?
Well, me and my husband have been asked to speak a few times. We were able to do an interview with a really large blog site where we did a live question and answer about blended families and our marriage. We've been interviewed by Essence twice about our love and about blended families. And I use my blog as a platform, and we both use our social media as a platform as well, just to share in any way, shape, or form that we can help others. And so I've been really grateful for those opportunities because, like I said, I feel like these families need that. I read an article that said something like 100 million Americans are joining blended families every year. And so everyone deserves second chances. And I feel like we need to equip these families with advice and tools to succeed. And so we've had a few opportunities to share with others, and we've been grateful for that.
Oh, yes. And your blog, I want to point out to our listeners, because I don't think I mentioned it before, but if you'd like to learn more about Courtney and her family, her website is www.courtney, that's CourtneyN, as in Nancy, Williams.com. I encourage you to take a look at it. And also, I'm sure you probably have on there your feature from Essence. I mean, that's really how I learned about you all. And I just had to reach out and see if you could join our conversation today. And as Dr. D and I were talking about, it seems like all around the country, people are converging on this particular issue all of a sudden. It's God's timing. I don't call it a coincidence.
Right.
I call it God's timing, the way we've all been able to connect. So, excuse me. I wondered if you could share some ideas about how you and your husband worked to make the stepchildren or the connect with you individually, like how you've connected with your son and how he's connected with your daughter.
We really just put forth that effort to give some individual time with each of them. My husband will say, you know, let me take Carrington, that's my daughter's name, let me take Carrington out. She's super girly, so she likes to shop and things like that already at five, God help me. But anyway, he'll take her shopping and just spend that quality time. You know, we found what our stepchildren's interests are and their hobbies are, and we'll show interest in that just to put forth that effort to spend quality time with my stepson. He loves all things band. My husband went to Grambling State University, so he's grown up going to these HBCU football games and seeing these world-renowned bands
at
halftime.
Yeah.
And so he loves the band. He watches YouTube videos on it all the time. So even if it's me just sitting on the couch talking with him and looking at the videos with him and just discussing different things about the band and what is it that he likes about it and does he want to do that when he gets older. And so we really just put forth the effort of spending that quality time with them and building a genuine relationship. And that's what I always tell people, is it has to be genuine. You see a lot of step parents and blended families solely just tolerating the child because they have to. They don't have a choice. That child is there. They're not going anywhere. But if you don't put forth that genuine effort to truly build your own personal relationship with them, then it won't happen. And so I would say just spending that individual quality time with them and truly getting to know them and building that trust and that foundation that they can have with you as well.
Yes. Dr. D, I was wondering if you wanted to weigh in on that point.
Yeah, I think, hi, Courtney.
Hello.
It is so wonderful meeting you. I read your blog. I looked at, congratulations to you and your wonderful husband and your wonderful family.
Definitely such
a positive blessing to see where you guys are going and what you're doing in the blended family. I think that one of the things that I really enjoyed what you said a lot of great things, but how you allow the interwovenness of your son and your other children to just connect, because you're building a foundation of love and you're cultivating a dynamic relationship that they will treasure for the rest of their lives. And I'm very grateful that you talked about that. I'm a few years older than you and your husband, my wife and I. One of the things, we have young adult children that, and our daughter, Tiffany, is in a blended family now. Her husband, she married, she's in a blended family, and she's been navigating through it. And you know, she's asked me all the time, Dad, how do you do this? And, you know, how do you do this? And I've been able to really, with God's help, be a blessing. And I'm just grateful that you're on this line and that you and your husband have this passion to create an environment to where young adults can really win the battle of having a successful blended family. So I'm even more inspired, because when I started doing this work, a lot of people kind of looked at me kind of cuckoo, because I had a positive outlook regardless of what the situation was. I had, and God gave me that outlook, and I wanted people to be better in the blended family. And they thought, man, it's never going to work. You know, the conflict, all of this stuff is going to always remain. And I took the idea and said, no, it's not going to remain, but you have to be intentional. And that's one thing I want to say. You and your husband have been intentional to create a healthy and holistic environment in your family that's passing on. And the last thing I'll say, keep passing the baton of hope within the blended family, because it will be tremendous for everybody that you connect with. And that's why I do seminars. I go into churches and recreation centers, and I'm trying to get in schools to share my blended family passion with schools and parents to know that there is someone out there. There's a plethora of people out there that are positive, that are God-led, that can change the paradigm and change the trajectory, that you don't have to be just making it or just tolerating your blended family.
Now, I want to ask you all a question, though. Okay, as we know, Courtney's children are younger.
Yes.
And you have older children, and your children were older when you got together. So I'm wondering what the difference is about that. Like, is it easier when the children are younger and they very often probably see the new sibling as one more playmate? Like, does that just make it easier? Whereas, say, about middle school or and up, they're a little more cynical, and that makes it harder. Let's talk a little bit about the dynamics there.
Okay. Yeah. If you don't mind, Courtney, I really believe that the younger the children are, the more adjustable and adaptable they are to their new siblings and new families, simply because they're younger and they don't have great expectations, as long as you love them and care for them. But when children get older, you know, their mindsets are already in place and they have more connection to either the biological mother or the biological father. And so they feel that you did them wrong, you know. And so it's a lot more challenging when you have older children involved in a blended family, because most kids really believe that their parents gonna get back together. And when you slide somebody else in, well, slide is probably the wrong vernacular.
I know what you mean, sure.
But when you slide somebody in there and then you don't talk to them. See, a lot of our blended family with older kids, we don't talk to our children because we're afraid that they're not going to really like the new dad or the new mom. Mm. And so we don't talk to them. And so they feel that they should have had a say so, like we spoke earlier. Mm-hmm. They should have had a voice. And so it's a lot more difficult mm-hmm. because of their ages and because of what's happening in their lives. And mm-hmm. they're dealing with the pain and the grief and the anger mm. of the separation and the disconnection, even though they still connected somewhat, mm-hmm. you know, to their parents that are biological. What happens if they live in the new home with mm-hmm. the new stepdad and new stepmom and they have siblings? The last thing I'll say, because I want Courtney to chime in. What I found out is that older children, mm-hmm. they were older in their original family. Now they come into this new family and they're younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the accolades and some of the responsibility and some of the freeways has to change. Like, for example, real quick. And if you were getting a car because you was a 17-year-old,
right.
now you are younger and now you have to wait because you're older. Stepbrother gets the car first.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates the friction and the frustration.
Sure.
So those things happens to make it a lot more challenging as they're older. I think it's a lot easier when you're younger because you can still massage them.
Right, right. And I want to ask you too, Courtney, but I kind of want to throw something in there too. And that is, you know, with younger children, they're still trying to navigate their feelings and kind of understand how you can have two feelings at the same time.
Yes.
So, which can kind of apply to, well, I love my dad, but I do like my new stepfather. Or, mm-hmm. you know, I really love my mom. But, you know, this new lady, you know, that dad's marrying, mm-hmm. she's nice too. And so, there's, at that age, a lot of times they're not aware that they can have those two feelings at the same time. So I'm wondering then, with your children being younger, do you see some of that, or is there something else? Am I like totally off base?
No, that's totally correct. I feel like we saw a lot of that with my stepson. Mm-hmm. I feel like he had to deal with a lot more change than my daughter, which she did as well, but him in particularly because we're in two different states. And mm. so his dad was living in Louisiana with him before we got married. And then his dad moved here to where I am in Houston, Texas. And so not only did he probably feel like his dad left him, then he was also just what he may have felt like thrown into this new environment. Because with us being in two different states, he comes and stays with us the whole summer. For 2 months. And so for him, I just think it was a lot more of an adjustment. And I could see that there would be times where he would be with us and he may feel like, well, I don't know if I could stay or if I could do this, you know, around y'all. Maybe if it was something that he heard from his mom or if we were asking him a question, even just about something in general,
mm-hmm.
we would see that there would be a little bit of pushback because he couldn't, you know, he didn't know if he was allowed to say certain things with us or, you know, vice versa from the two different households. So I did see a lot of that with my stepson.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that it is easier to blend with younger kids because you don't have those teenage attitudes hormones that you're having to deal with. But I naively thought that because our kids were so young that it was just going to happen overnight and we were going to, you know, skip off into the sunset
mm-hmm.
as this newly blended family. You know, like I said, my daughter was 2, his son was 3. They're only 10 months apart. If you've seen any of our pictures, they actually look alike.
They really do.
I had like this fairy tale in my head of, you know, us saying I do at our wedding. And then the very next day we were just going to be this happily blended family. But with the young kids, they are in those prime time years where they don't really, you know, for lack of a better word, mess with someone that they're not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, I'm getting married. I'm not going to be a single mom anymore. I'm going to have all this help from my husband. And I quickly saw that my daughter was still forming her own opinion and relationship with my husband. And so if I'm like, oh, you know, I would ask my husband, go do this for me with my daughter, Carrington. And she would give a lot of pushback because she still wanted me to do everything for her, whether it was fix her dinner or tuck her in bed or get her dressed or whatever it is. She still wanted her mom to do everything, and that would frustrate me in the beginning because I'm like, oh my gosh, I still feel like a single mom. You know, I still have to do everything for her. And even with my stepson, when he would come, you know, it took a little while for him to build his trust with me. And just naturally, he's a more reserved person in general. Like, if it's not his mom, his grandma, or his dad, he's very standoffish. He's more of a shy personality. And so that would even hurt my feelings in the beginning. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I thought he was automatically going to look at me as a second mom. And I had to tell myself, you know, Courtney, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't just happen overnight. So they have to build their own personal relationships. They have to gain trust, and the foundation has to be there as well. And so even with young kids, there's definitely an adjustment period of them getting comfortable and them, you know, building that trust and comfort level with you as well. So it takes time. And so I would just tell parents, don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen overnight, because it still takes time, even with young kids.
Yes. Now, let's talk a little bit about co-parenting and how you navigate that with the other parent. Dr. D, you have anything real quick?
Yeah, real quick. I think that, again, communication is one of the foundations of building a co-parenting and understand what your kids like and don't like. And I think that can go a long way when you co-parent, and always be honest about your co-parenting, what your expectations are. And I think co-parenting, the expectations really play the role in that being successful. If you understand the expectation and you stick to those particular goals or those set of things that you have designed in co-parenting, and co-parenting from a position, lastly, of love and success. Understand that we're here for the kids. The kids are the gym in the co-parenting perspective.
Right. Courtney, did you have any thoughts on that about how to relate so that the two biological parents are on a team with parenting the children that are in the blended family?
I would just say be very flexible. Communication is key, and also be flexible. I mean, like, just this morning, this weekend is my daughter's weekend to go with her dad, and normally he gets her from school on Fridays and he brings her back at 6 p.m. on Sunday, and he called me and he has to go out of town on Sunday, so he needs to bring her at 2. And so I said, well, that works because in 2 weeks, so when he has to get her again, they get out for the summer, and so they get out early at 12:40 on that Thursday instead of the Friday. So I'm like, you could just get her that Thursday and then keep her until Sunday. And so we've been able to really just be flexible with each other, work with each other, and just keep the kids first, that their well-being and their emotional health first. And I think if you do that, it's hard to be drama-filled and difficult and all that good stuff if you're keeping the kids first.
Okay. Well, now, as we're getting close to wrapping up, I want to ask each of you, and I'll ask you first, Dr. D, if there were like 5 points or themes that you would want to leave parents with.
Well, first, the first thing is be part of the solution, not the problem. And what that simply means is that understand that your kids' role in this new family system are important. And that if problems arise, make sure that you hit the problems off very quickly. Don't let them fester. So you can make sure that the conflict doesn't arrive, and be a person that's championing a solution. It's very hard for conflict or problems to remain if you both are championing a solution. And don't be afraid to be wrong and say, you know, I made the problem. I blew it, you know, and then let your kids know. I blew it and I messed up. And so I think if you have that attitude as a parent, then you can be able to quickly squash ever going on problem. Number two, be transparent. I think one of the biggest things that we miss as adults is that we're not transparent enough with our children. We don't let our kids know that we have flaws. You know, we walk around like we're walking on water all the time. But, you know, let your kids know that, you know what, again, I forced it, but daddy or mommy made a mistake. We missed it. I'm sorry. Ask your kids that, you know, to please forgive me. Number three, take the high road. And high road is mean when the conflict arises, when things are going crazy, be willing to concede, be willing to give in. And it's a risky concept.
Sure.
Because you want to be right.
Mm-hmm.
We got a lot of parents that want to be right. Mm-hmm. But we're willing to take the high road so that you're not ever going on and on and on and where the negativity fills the room. And sometimes just don't say anything for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And say, you know what? You were right. Mm-hmm. Even if you were right, say, you know what? You were right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can move forward. And I think the blended family is never going to be perfect.
All right.
I mean, and not so much for Courtney, real quick. I think that when we've been married before, and this is for remarried families,
mm-hmm.
You think because you have experienced before and that you know how to navigate and you think it's going to be perfect, mm-hmm. that's misconstrued because you're dealing with different personalities, different traditions, different family situations. Go in there with your eyes wide open mm-hmm. and be willing to be flexible, be willing to be accepting. And the last thing I'll say, don't play favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the biological kids get more favoritism than the non-biological or the stepkids. Maybe it's from the in-laws. Maybe it's from the grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
I think the parents involved need to make sure that every child is treated fairly, because how would you feel? You had nothing to do with this program starting.
Right.
And you got left out because you're not the biological child. Or if you're the stepchild mm-hmm. and you're getting more than the biological child, you don't want your children, regardless of their status, to feel that they're not wanted, they're not loved. Mm-hmm. And so those things I wanted to share with the audience.
Okay. How about you, Courtney? What are some key points or themes you think parents should know?
I would say just keep the kids first and their well-being and their emotional state first, because they didn't ask to be in this situation. We put them in this situation. So a lot of the times I feel like when you see the families who do have a lot of drama or a lot of conflict, that they're forgetting that these kids did not actually put in that situation. I would say just have a plan and stick to it and outline for your family what works for your family. Like I said earlier, me and my husband decided early on that it was going to be God, it was going to be us, and it was going to be our children. That's what worked for our family. And so we had that plan, we had that outline, and we stuck to it. And like you said, I come from a Christian background. My faith is what leads us in all our decisions. So for us, I would also say just keep God first and be led by the Holy Spirit, and then everything else will work out.
Thank you. Thank you. And to our listeners, I thank you for tuning in. Again, we were speaking with Dr. Dwayne Mangum, author of Blending to Make It, Ingredients for a Successful Blended Family. You can learn more about him at www.drdwainemangum, and that's spelled Dr. DrDuaneMangum.com. He's also Dr. Blend1 on Twitter, and you can also find him on Facebook. And we've also heard from Mrs. Courtney Williams. Her website is CourtneyNWilliams.com. I encourage you to look at that. Both of them have a wealth of information to share. And also, if you were not able to hear the show in its entirety, I encourage you to check out carolmuleta.com. That's CarolMuleta.com. In a day or so, I'll have the show loaded up and you can listen to it in its entirety and check out some of the other things that I have going on. Thank you again, and we will talk next time. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you, Dr. D.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.